not treading lightly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Some of the nation's most powerful financial regulators head to Capitol Hill today. They'll testify before the Senate Banking Committee about some of the new regulatory reform proposals being pushed by the Obama administration. We get the latest from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining me live from our bureau in New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
So I gather we're not expecting these regulators to be moving in lockstep with the administration, right?
That's right. Now, just some background here. President Obama and his team want to eliminate a couple of regulators, the Office of Thrift Supervision and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and replace them with a new bank supervisory agency and give more power to the Fed. Well, as you can imagine, the heads of the two agencies that would be replaced are not too happy about it, and they're going to blast this proposal today as unnecessary, and they'll say that giving the Fed more power will undermine the authority of the new banking regulator.
So what's this about, Jeremy? Is this a big turf battle?
Well, that's certainly part of it. Anytime you want to take power away from one agency and give it to another, there'll be a fight. But this one actually, Steve, has gotten pretty nasty. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, was having a meeting with all these banking regulators last Friday and was throwing around obscenities and telling them it's time to get behind the president's proposal for reform.
Surely they don't talk like that on Capitol Hill.
Of course not. So,
and the Senate is leaving Washington in just a few days for the August recess. What's the timeline for this financial overhaul?
Well, they want to get it done by the end of the year. And the reason for that is it's going to be very tough if Wall Street's booming and the economy turns around to go in and say, OK, guys, it's time to change the rules. So there's a real appetite to get this done fast.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. More bank earning reports out of Europe this morning. Switzerland's largest bank, UBS, is posting a higher than expected loss of more than $1.3 billion for its second quarter. We get more now from London and Christopher Wirth.
UBS has paid a price for trying to get its house in order. It spent over $2 billion restructuring and cutting loose overseas operations in Brazil. But that's only half the story. The bank has been embroiled in a dispute with the United States over releasing financial information on wealthy American clients who might be hiding money from Uncle Sam. Jan Randolph is with IHS Global Insight. He explains why worried clients have pulled over $37 billion from its wealth and asset management divisions.
Why take the unnecessary risk if you know that UBS is under the spotlight? You will park your money somewhere else, under the radar, as it were. And there are other smaller banks in Switzerland that may be safer for them.
One bank that may be benefiting is the not-so-small Credit Suisse. It's posted profits of nearly $1.5 billion. But troubles at UBS may be easing. A deal with U.S. authorities was announced last Friday. Details are due later this week. In London, this is Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
European markets are lower across the board right now. Asian markets closed mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ both added more than 1.5%. The Dow was up more than 1% as well yesterday. The dollar's been retreating today against other major currencies. It hit its lowest level today since the Lehman Brothers collapse last year. And oil's trading back around $71 a barrel after rising sharply yesterday.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
You know, during the peak of the housing boom, glossy home magazines such as Dwell celebrated the rise of modern prefab architecture. These factory-built homes with clean lines and green materials promised to reshape the building industry. That is, until the housing market crashed. But that doesn't mean green prefab is dead. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
Architect Leo Marmo realized his dream in this sprawling warehouse south of downtown Los Angeles to build modern prefab homes on a factory assembly line.
The steel frames themselves were put together outside on those large jigs and then literally slid into the factory to roll down this track assembly on the factory floor.
Marmo says the manufacturing process reduced construction waste by as much as 40% And as green building began to catch on, business was looking up. Then,
when the credit market fell to pieces, the prefab market went with it.
Today, most of the 65,000 square foot warehouse sits empty, but Marmol remains optimistic.
There's always been this utopian dream of trying to make better design more available to our communities.
Meaning more affordable, but Los Angeles Times architecture critic Christopher Hawthorne says Marmol's factory was missing a key ingredient to achieving that affordability, scale.
The prefab designs are probably more progressive in terms of sustainability than they are in terms of economics.
But some companies are adapting. Boston's Blue Homes has thrived despite the recession. It has about 50 homes currently in its pipeline and a merger with another company in the works. Co-founder Maura McCarthy says Blue Homes' success is simple.
We didn't start, you know, trying to be the Armani of homes.
They did set out to become the IKEA of homes, offering modern green design at affordable prices.
You know, you can't have clients putting them together as much, but you can definitely have them designing them and having more influence on how to put the elements of the home together.
McCarthy says Blue Homes prefab houses cost as little as $135 a square foot. That's about half the price of Leo Marmol's models. And with energy bill savings of up to 60% compared to other houses, McCarthy says the recession isn't killing prefab. It's finally making it cost competitive. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Finally, Walmart likes to say it's all about low prices. But one blogger mom from Ohio says the company's stooped to a new low. Advertising Age says the woman is angry because the retailer is testing cookies for its in-house Great Value brand. The treats are very similar to Girl Scout Thin Mints and Tagalongs. The woman, who's known as the Cookie Mom for her daughter's Girl Scout troop, she says it's the exclusivity of cookies that helps them sell. No comment from Walmart and no word on whether the Scouts are planning in retaliation to sell cheap DVDs. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.